President of the United States.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to the meeting tonight. We're holding a regular meeting tonight. Welcome, everybody. I have some oral administrative reports to start out with and some announcements, and I'd like to start out with Chief Vinaris if he's here.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, members of the public. I appreciate the opportunity to come in here. I'd like to quickly talk about the community emergency response team that Station 15 here in Los Osos, as well as Morbay Fire Department, is sponsoring. This will be a 20-hour class for the CERT teams, or the community emergency response teams. There's some flyers up at the front desk, and you can get that as well online at the LOCSD website. This class has received a lot of publicity lately in some of the papers. It's a very good class. It teaches about 20 hours worth of hands-on emergency response for folks in the home. Things like shutting off your electricity or your gas should a large earthquake occur, what to do if there's a big fire coming, some basic first aid, so you know how to stop bleeding and open up airways, a helmet, some gloves, a little handy-dandy vest that says CERT on it, and some goggles so that you can look prepared and look the part. So I strongly encourage all the members to come out and get this valuable training. Is there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do I have any oral announcements from any of the board members? Would anyone like to make any announcements? We're going to do committees after the written reports. They could be in committee. Anybody else? Okay, I would like to have Mr. Miller give a quick update oral report on a couple of items.
Thank you, Madam President. Two items for you tonight. The first is, I want to thank Karen Vendetti and the Ad Hoc Grants Committee who brought to our attention a pre-application program and a deadline for Prop 40 and Prop 50 funds, and they requested a little bit of assistance, which we were able to provide in the last few days to submit a grant application for a $5 million for one of the pieces of the puzzle. It actually ended up being a pipeline to the east of town to convey upper aquifer water for agricultural use, and of course that's consistent with the future project, which may actually convey water back for reclaimed water use. So it has merit both for interim mitigation and long-term use in the context of the project, so that was submitted today. The deadline is midnight tonight. So thanks to the Grants Committee for their continued work on that. A quick update on the request for proposals that we discussed last time. Those did get issued to potential consultants, and they were also posted on some industry-wide websites, which has also generated some interest. So we have perhaps maybe 10 recipients of the RFP at this point, and including large firms and some smaller specialty firms that really run the range from natural systems to the large national firms. So we hope that as folks look at it, they'll be willing to respond, and we think we will have some interest. So we'll continually report as that process moves along.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the board? Comments? I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping getting that grant deadline. I was sick to my stomach all week about the deadline coming up, and you jumped into it, and the Grants Committee keeping our feet to the fire and working with staff, I can't thank you enough for getting something in, because the deadline only comes once a year. Details to be released soon. All issues of concern to all of us. And all of these will be posted on the website and organized by the CSD and in concert with citizens who are active in volunteering and committees. And these are some of the workshops that we're planning. Interim compliance measures will be the first workshop, and it's tentatively slated for February 27th, on the night of the Tuesday Wastewater Committee meeting. And then project goals, selection criteria, project budget, funding instruments, recycling systems, wastewater technology. All of these things will be future workshops. Urge you to check the website and call the office for details. We also are still having our open houses, Saturdays, Mondays at Farmers Market, and Monday evenings, Saturdays and Mondays in the office. Encourage you to come by and ask your questions and meet it directly with a board member and address some of your concerns. And once again, as we all know, this board is committed to building a project. We always have been. And I'd like to reiterate that point to anybody who thinks differently. And the project, we are looking for a project that meets long-term goals, not short-term goals. And that includes the saltwater intrusion and groundwater recharge. And again, the project that was designed did not address those things because the technical studies that found out that we had these issues were done after the design was completed. So it was kind of a backwards way of design and planning. And as you know, most of us are design and planning professionals and are very involved. All of us are educated in these areas, and we're planning to do this right this time. And we need your help and assistance. Okay, the cost of business is getting past the past. And I mean, this is just to make sure that you are aware of all of the issues that are still on the table here. We have a lot of lawsuits and litigation that we're facing. And these things cost money and time, and they do, I don't want to say they distract us from the goals, but the goals are the same. We're trying to build a project. But these, to pretend that these things don't exist and that they don't take time and resources and money would be unfair. So we have loans and fines and contract issues. And we have citizen lawsuits, and we have personnel issues, and grand jury investigations, and audits, and DA complaints, and IG complaints, and all of these things take time and energy. Okay. Hold on a second. The wastewater committee, Mr. Fouché, Vice President Fouché, the chair of that committee, will report on this during his oral report, but just to show that these were some of the issues that were discussed at the first meeting, and he'll do details. Would you like to do that now, or would you like to hold all of the reports that have already been done? These will all be folded in. Nothing's going to be wasted. We're going to use what we have, and we're not going to reinvent the wheel, because I've heard that a lot in comments. It's not true. And we use criteria for analyzing alternatives. We follow the SRF loan guidelines we intend to apply for another state revolving fund loan. But we're using the new criteria that the State Water Board has adapted, and that's about sustainability. We're looking to build a sustainable project. The other project was not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. So our project, we intend to make it sustainable. And that's one of the criteria that we'll be using in analysis. This project will include a budget cap. It won't be open-ended. And it will include an affordability study, which is part of the guidelines and the requirements. Affordability for our town and our people, and those elements will be incorporated into the project report. That's a separate RFP process that's also in process at the same time to do an affordability study. The project report will also identify sites and technology that are appropriate, provide real cost comparisons, and recommend the best option. And this will be done through a public process as well as a consultant process that you will be involved in every step of the way as much as you'd like to be interested in it. So it will be an open process. And the revised project report will address, it's pretty simple, it's either centralized or it's decentralized, it's either gravity or it's step, and all those things will be analyzed. It's not complicated. We all are pretty educated sewer-wise now. We know what the options are, and these are the things that will be analyzed, again, with updated costs and updated operations and maintenance costs as well. How much will it cost you every year in operation and maintenance, not just how much does it cost to build? Those issues are important. How much electricity will it use? How much are your power bills going to be? Those things will also be considered. And we're going to look closely at siting requirements, including the proximity to neighbors, full environmental review, full environmental analysis, and the least damaging location. And Measure B is the site ordinance that's currently enforced, and it is consistent with CEQA and the SRF guidelines. And all it was for economic and environmental siting. Many of you may or may not know that in the 2001 report for this project, the preferred project, environmentally preferred, CEQA preferred, was out of town. That's the one that came to the top of the pile. And in addition to it being the environmentally preferred, it was also the least expensive. It was the most cost-effective, which seemed to be very important to most of the community at that time. Okay. We're appealing that ruling at the state level. We're in process of doing that right now. And this is just an attachment of the individual property owners, the map of where people were selected. You've seen this before. Some of you may or may not know that names from these were requested in a public records request. We haven't heard, which is not going to be released, according to the TT as of today. So more to follow on that. For dates and times and places, individual enforcement actions will take place in a formal consolidated hearing that's scheduled for March 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Regional Water Board. We encourage everyone to attend. The hearing will continue at 1 p.m. if necessary, it says. This is the announcement from the Regional Board. And summary and recap again, these individual, what are called cease and desist orders, were randomly selected for 50 homes. We're trying to find out what that random selection process was. We have not been able to receive confirmation from the Water Board about how they randomly selected the names of the people, and we intend to get that. Required immediate reporting requirements with penalties, and suggesting pumping septics every other month, 6 times a year. And you, as citizens, are allowed to propose alternative compliance methods, and that will all be discussed in addition. You are required to hook up to a sewer by January 2010 or have fines. And you have a right to separate hearings, and that's probably the way that the Los Osos CSD would also recommend that you go. Okay, there's some other things that are happening. A Los Osos Clean Water Assistance Fund, and I'm going to have some speakers come up and give some brief recaps of this. And once again, this is just a map, again, prepared by Wallace and Associates that shows the blue areas are the depths that are shallow to high groundwater. Those are the ones that the groundwater is close to the surface. The dark gray, the gradation of color, goes from shallowest to deepest. So when you've got even the red areas are 5 to 10 feet below the ground surface, the water level, because it's all about the septic fields and the groundwater and the separation distance. The more separation distance you have, the better your septic tank is working, your septic fields. In general, in our soil types, the greater separation you have, the more your septic tanks actually work and do treat your groundwater. Do treat your effluent, excuse me. So this map is helpful to some. And again, the CSD is committed to interim measures for water quality. The grants in place, the grants at least submitted for Ag Exchange is doing about the CERT training, and he has the handouts over there if you're interested. This sounds like a great class. Director Tacker, I think, has taken this. She's certified. And we have water conservation kits available that are being handed out at Farmers Market, or you can come by the office and pick up these kits. And thank Mr. Milanis and his group for getting this together, Margaret Faulkner. And that's the end of the show of my little presentation. I'd like to call up two citizen members for a brief oral report, Mr. Swanson and Ms. McPherson. These are efforts that are being done to help the citizens with the fine issue. It's a big issue, and I want to give them some time to announce what they're doing. I want to repeat. Okay.
Keith Swanson. First of all, we started it's titled the Los Osos Clean Water Assistance Fund, and it's to assist those people that will, if they are required to pump their septic tanks and they can't afford it, we're going to establish guidelines as to how they can apply for the money and get the assistance they need. You can send donations to P.O. Box 6687, Los Osos 93412. Again, it's the Los Osos Clean Water Assistance Fund. It's tax deductible. Also, we're planning a on-site presentation scheduled for February 28th. We're going to have a keynote speaker. We're going to have explanation as what your system does now, what systems there are out there in the technology to remove nitrogen, testing for efficiency in pathogens and nitrates, permitting the issues through regional board and all of that to get okay to put an on-site system, give you case histories such as Stinson Beach, Malibu, that do have on-site systems now that are working and are being managed. Talking about system pumping and over-pumping and how that actually can be harmful instead of good. Each vendor will have about 10 to 20 minutes to give their presentation. It'll explain the product type, the benefits, and the cost range, and it's it's going to say, can they do it or they can't do it, instead of maybe. We want to know for sure whether they can actually do something for Los Osos or they can actually get the nitrate levels down to meet discharge requirements. I think it's just important that the community get educated. It's not an endorsement. This may not be the way we're going in this community, but at least we know the community can get information to know there are other technologies, there are other ways to go, and I think it's best that
the individuals who have been notified that they have been selected for the cease and desist orders can get information, and other people who are interested parties, which we believe that the entire community, including the CSD, are all interested parties. This will affect everyone in the community, and we're encouraging everyone to register as interested parties. The meeting last night will be repeated with more detail and forms to fill out to register as interested parties in that cease and desist process. As you know, the meeting is scheduled for the 23rd, and some of the things that we're asking is and recommending is to request individual hearings and also to put together pretty much a data bank of evidence that would hopefully encourage the regional board to go a different direction. And so with that end, next Friday will be the another meeting of the general public. In the meantime, we're also scheduling meetings with the 50, it's now down to 45 evidently, but the 45 people that do have on-site requirements now to pump and show up for the hearing. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted by all the wiring that's going on. But anyway, what I have here tonight is I do have a sign-up sheet for those who would like to be considered register as either designated or interested parties. If you need more information on that, I would encourage you to either call me. I'm kind of serving as the hotline until we get an actual hotline together. We're looking for volunteers to help with tabling and other information, administrative efforts, as well as the legal defense. We're going to have an awful lot of work to do between now and the 23rd. And so I just want to say that next Friday is, not tomorrow, but a week from Friday, at 6:30 at this location, South Bay Community Center, will be another meeting for the individual enforcement actions. And in the meantime, you can call 534-1913 for more information. And the location of the meeting for the 50 or 45 individuals that receive notices, because they have extra work to do. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. McPherson?
Mm-hmm. Something I'd like to say.
Okay. Mr. Sassania?
Mm-hmm. Yes. This was the hypocrisy.
Well, yeah. And I know that the rumor mill is pretty busy.
But that's
I did
just
want to start another rumor, and the rumor is that each one of you contributed $100 to start that fund, that assistant fund. So that thank you very much for that.
That's in addition to renting the room last night, I can't get.
and any other questions about that? I know that there's a public information request for the method for selection, and I think that there are people who've called and said, gee, I know I noted that I was in high water. I didn't get a notice. I'm interested in maybe trading places with somebody and pumping instead, because I think that would do a better job at resolving some of the nitrate loading issues. I think that was an incredibly selfless act, and I think that's really wonderful that people are willing to do that and pull together. Also, the number of people who have said that they thought that it was a good idea to perhaps have everybody in the whole community pump their tanks in the next 6 months, and that would show the regional board that we're serious about water quality. And so there's a lot of alternatives, and the most important thing is that we have alternatives that we can propose, and that's a wonderful thing, because we have some better ideas than six times a year.
Okay, are there any other questions from the board at this time? Vice President Fouché?
No questions, but I just want to thank you, Gail. All the efforts, again, shows how this community stands up for itself and comes together to solve the problems that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Director Sennett?
Yes, thank you for your presentation and helping out with the citizens' concerns. I think we should also add that you are developing an inventory of information and data concerning possible remedies and alternatives to pumping for people wishing to go before the board mm-hmm. and discuss alternatives to pumping every other month. So whether or not you know, what comes out of this, whether or not you develop your own, you know, a legal front to represent a group of citizens, or citizens decide to get their own attorneys, there still is this information to avail themselves, known to the community, and available for them to discuss with the board.
Yes, and I just would like to add one thing to that comment, that the Los Osos Technical Task Force is doing a lot of the technical side. CCLO is taking on some of the information, and there will be tabling events, and there will be information that's going out to the community so that they can join in. This is really something that can pull our community together. Some of the people on the list are not necessarily supporters of this board, but they certainly should support their neighbors. And so we would invite them to also help out and join in so that all groups can kind of come together and say, we want to make better water quality, and we can do this as a team. And then that's really the reason that we have that solidarity in the title of our new group. So we would ask that everybody would be willing to join in and at least attend one meeting. So thank you very much for your support, because the CSD support means so much to the community, too, and it helps drive out some of the fear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Swanson, and thank you, Ms. McPherson, for describing some of the citizen efforts about the fining. And, again, if you need those phone numbers, or you can reach them at the back of the room to talk more about these issues. And I think, thank you for starting that fund, and everybody's willing to... welcome to contribute. I know that we ponied up, and we were the first donors, I believe, to the fund, and we each chipped in $100 to start out the fund. So we're behind everybody, and we're trying to solve this, and we want the community to come together. We're not trying to divide us any longer. So let's stick together here. We're going to go on to, do we have any other oral reports at this time before we go on to the written administrative reports, and then we'll do committee reports after that.
Madam President.
Yes, Mr. Buskey.
I just would like to be able to give a... I don't have my written report this evening, but I do have some items I'd like to go over orally when the time permits.
Okay, just a second. I forgot to say that Mr. McClendon has joined us, Interim General Counsel, on the phone. Hi, John. Are you there? John? He was there a second ago.
He was there.
Okay, he is on the phone. Maybe he stepped out for a second, but we did have him on a second ago. Maybe we'll have to check to make sure he's there. Okay. Mr. Buskey.
Yes, Madam President, members of the board, good evening. Just got a couple of things. It's been a rather busy week. Just to kind of go over the week's events, the Finance Committee met on Monday night, Wastewater with the regional board staff. And it was a very productive meeting. Myself, Vice President Fouché, and our district engineer, Rob Miller, attended. For the regional board, it was Allison Milholland and Harvey Packard, and it was a good exchange. It was a very candid exchange. A number of the items, I don't think anything there was a real surprise with what they had to say. It was totally non-confrontational and very refreshing, because it's important so that we can move the project forward. It's a start in being able to dispel some of the perceptions that may exist to this current CSD. What we did go over was some of the items on the language in the C&Ds to individual property owners, and they did share with us some of the things that we picked up at the staff level and discussed, and that had to do with some of the careful wording and also the duration of the C&Ds to individual, the cease and desist orders to individual property owners. The four-year time to comply was not lost on staff. And it was on the the meeting did indicate that they believe that was adequate time that also could accommodate us to proceed forward with a wastewater project. So we did kind of share some of the thoughts on that and get, you know, on paralleling those activities. The other thing was is that one of the key words that we picked up at the staff level was the or word when it came to pumping or alternate means, and that was by design. And we confirmed that with Regional. They're based upon some documents that we have now been able to discover, and we brought this to the board's attention and to the public previously, is that the Regional Board staff was very interested in piloting certain technologies that the state has also done extensive research on. And although nothing came to that, and that never was brought by staff forward back in September 2004 when that exchange occurred, we're hopeful that we'll be able to leverage that to come up with mitigation measures as a parallel activity under the septic management program as we proceed forward with a project report. They were very supportive of that. However, they do remind us of something that we're already aware of, and that is they don't want us to get sidetracked. Now, there is a little, we have a few things that do have a tendency to, that we have to attend to, but we would then establish as more of a conventionally funded CSD. That would also clear up some of the issues that came to light with the old project and the firm funding source that's required by the SRF loan. So we're moving forward with ideas, and hopefully we'll be able to make that happen. We did share with them some of the actions we're taking on our ACL sites, that being Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro and the fire station, and that staff has already started the investigation to go into evaluating the leachate at... We may want to turn that microphone off. We're modern technology. But basically, they were very excited to hear that we were looking at dealing with that, and we have done extensive research at the staff level. George Milanis and also Rob Miller and some of the Wildan staff, the work that they had done prior, and also coupled with the extensive work the state's done, there's a possibility we can pilot solutions with on-site modifications to those systems. Of course, the beauty there is funding mechanisms are already available. Of course, we would have to bring that to the public, and there's a whole process we would have to go through if we were trying to cover that with revenues generated by rates. But it gives us a considerable alternative. It's too early to say if it's feasible, because I know there's a lot of rumors out there about the range of what on-site costs. And it's too early to say, and I really want people to be cautious, that this is not a panacea that could solve this problem permanently, but it may help us to mitigate the nitrogen loading in the upper aquifer. So they were supportive of that. And we discussed a number of other items, but I think what's also significant is they shared with us the apprehension of senior staff because of the past history. We've talked about the past history, and quite justifiably their apprehension. And I think the only way that we can dispel that is by action. And I believe that we have some low-lying fruit on the tree, and if we proceed in the parallel path with the project report and a septic management system aggressively, that...
So, thank you, Mr. Buskey, for that report. Any questions from the board? Okay, we'll go on to the written reports. Do the board members have any comments, or is there going to be a presentation on any of these written reports?
Madam President, on the written reports, ma'am. We have the only person not present this evening is the ASM, and she was out ill today. But I do have our fire chief, who can make a presentation on his CDF report or answer any questions that you may have. The report is in the package. And we also have George Milanis, our utility manager, here, who would be more than willing to go over any questions or make a presentation on his report that you may have. I just want to let you know, too, as we're in the process here of changing the format on this, on our reports that we were hoping to have this evening, but it's going to take us a couple more weeks to go over all of the items that are on our plate, whether they're active right now or coming. And you should see that in the next couple of weeks. And with that, we'll leave it at your discretion. Okay.
Would the board like to hear a summary of the written reports? Okay. Mr. Veneris, would you like to summarize your written report for us orally? It would help, because the public may not have copies. Just brief.
The written report that's in your package tonight is for the month of December, and it summarizes what the fire department did, Station 15 South Bay did in December, which was a total of 88 calls. Of those, five are simultaneous or back-to-back. Of the simultaneous or back-to-back, one of them required advanced life support by the paramedics. Additionally, it summarizes what we did in 2005, which was a total of 998 calls. 51 of those were simultaneous calls. Of those 998, 714 were medical aids, 310 were required advanced life support by the medics, 72 of those were incidents reported as fires, and the remaining were miscellaneous incidents such as hazardous materials and such. And we did sell off some of the surplus equipment, and that is down in there. There some Interspiro self-contained breathing apparatus were sold, and we did some personnel actions with a firefighter who was having some issues. There's some fire prevention issue. We had four or five different outreach programs and continued to finish up the restroom remodel.
Great. That's great.
Any
questions
answer
from the board or Director Sennett?
Well, I saw, and I don't know, I may have missed it, but I saw where you had smoke alarms available. And did you go over that?
I can. That was a program, it's actually two different grant programs. One of them was initiated by Station 15 staff, and that received the 9-volt batteries, and we've been doing that annually. Which report I had about 20 of them were given out, and in the time from when this is written until now, we've given the rest of them out. And so that program, we're working on trying to reinstitute it, and it'll probably take us a while to find another vendor who's willing to do that. But it's a very good program.
Do you know of anybody who would assist, say, an elderly person or someone that needs help installing these? Is there anybody that would help someone like that?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
If someone were to need a smoke alarm or change a battery or something, and they were, let's say, they were unable to do it themselves and very low income, is there anybody to assist with the installation?
Absolutely. What we've been doing is going out and during our public contacts, encouraging people to give the station a call. If they need a firefighter to go out and check it, to install a battery, install the smoke alarm, we will send an engine out. It's usually about a 2-day turnaround. We try and do that the same day because we don't want that hanging on us. If someone calls and says they don't have a smoke alarm that's working, we'll try and get out there that day, at least check it. And we don't have smoke alarms now, but I can guarantee you that if someone called the station tomorrow and said they didn't have a smoke alarm, we'd come up with one.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chief. Mm-hmm. Mr. Milanis, would you like to give a brief oral summary of your written report, please?
Good evening, Madam President, board, members of the public. My report in your packet summarizes January, things we had going on. As Mr. Blesky indicated, we are working on a new format which will get more of the items that we do have going on in front of you. It's our hope with the new format that we're able to convey what's going on by you know, narrating the number of issues, things that are complete as they go through work actions and then into the future. So I'll try to just summarize where we're at today. By the end of a little bit, what happens is the complete inside of the tank now has been relined, epoxy coated, and these types of coatings take, in any dampness, they take a while to cure. So with the some of the wetter weather we had earlier and last month, it just extended that project a little, but we are done there. So, moving on to the capital improvement projects, contract 6 is moving forward. You'll find your packet a more in-depth analysis of the dollars spent to date versus the service lines put in place. I'm more than glad to answer any questions about that. As you'll see going through some of the tables I provided, it fluctuates. Some months you get more lines in, some months you don't get as many in. As I have indicated in the past, we are targeting about 30 lines a month, and sometimes we can hit that target, and again, sometimes there are challenges that we face that take a little longer. Contracts 9 and 10, we just received the 50% design submittal on that. This is the hydropneumatic expansion, the South Bay upgrades, booster stations. These two projects in themselves are going to alleviate virtually all the low pressures and the pressure problems we've had throughout the district. So this is a great project. There's some additional pipework projects, contract 11 also, that is moving along all on parallel paths with the design of these improvements to our hydropneumatic system and then water lines throughout our system. Again, I provided total budgets, the spent, and what is remaining on those budgets. Lastly, the plan action, we're going 10th Street, we are still monitoring for MTBE. We've backed off that monitoring. We had been tracking that since 2000, have never shown a dirty sample there. So we're very confident, but just to be proactive, we just continue like to monitor that. I will share a few of the planned or things, the actual work being done on the design for Contract 11. This is the pipe work when we're going to construction. Contract 12 will be coming next month. This is a well siting study, and what we're looking to do is develop well sites. Our water master plan called for a combination of two wells for 1,000 gallons a minute, and anyhow, this contract coming before you is going to propose looking at our upper aquifer, existing wells we have, and making the most out of our resources before actually going out and trying to develop new production wells in the lower zone. Contract 13, I'm going to be talking with Golden State on water. That contract is for an intertie. What these are, two points in the systems where we will be able to tie in. The benefit there is, in case of emergency, if it's in their water system, they can pull from ours, and the same vice versa. So I do have a meeting with Warren Morgan, the regional manager for Golden State Water, and it's my hope that they will share the cost of this particular project because it mutually benefits both the systems. Contract 15, again, will be coming next month. This is the seismic retrofit of the Palisades well, and it's a means of being able to quickly connect in the event of an earthquake. The Palisades, as you know, is our largest producing well. So we want to back ourselves up in the event of an earthquake to make sure that's retrofitted. Moving on to wastewater, I'm just going to briefly touch base. We're continuing to monitor and operate the Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro systems. All monitoring reports have been filed. We're not behind on any of those reports. I do want to just mention briefly on the on-site, Mr. Bleski mentioned that we are looking at characterizing and looking at the leachate itself up in Bay Ridge and Vista. So we have been in contact with a consultant. We have a proposal that will be coming before your board, which is to install lysimeters. These are instruments that we can grab soil, just came in, but that's something that will be coming before your board in the near future. As far as drainage, nothing to report there. I'm sure everyone's been enjoying the beautiful weather. And with that, concludes my report. I'd be glad to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Mr. Milanis. Are there any questions from the board? Director Sennett?
Thank you for your report. The formatting of the reports, progress reports mainly, are they going to include graphics such as pie charts or, you know, things that give us a at inspection we can see where your progress is as far as anticipated or expected as opposed to actual, and you know, compared also to, you know, budgeted, you know, the not to exceed amount and percentage use of that, so we can kind of track it. It sounds like you, from the figures, you're doing very well, but if we had a pie chart, or just like, not a pie chart, but a bar chart or some type of measurement graphically, it'd be really easy to just get an idea of where we are. So I think that would be helpful.
I can answer that one because we're still working on this. This is a system that I'm putting in place. And essentially what it is it's normally certainly anything can be put in the report. And on sensitive projects, we can certainly do that. Normally it's a narrative report. And what we're trying to do is it would basically have what's been done, what we're working on, and what we're going to be doing on each project we have either working or budget or coming. And sometimes we can categorize them into broad basis. Normally when it comes to project and goals, that would normally be included as in a narrative form. The advantage of this system is we only work off one document instead of the multiple documents for assignments and reporting and committee and all that that is now currently internal. However, I know on water production records and things like that, or essentially, Mr. Milanis and I have discussed, I know there's a lot of interest in the service line progress. We could certainly put that information in there. I think that was what we tried to put in this time, but it's a combination of tape.
The MTBE, do we know what the status is at the remediation site, what their readings are? Are they really going down to a point of where it's fully remediated?
Yes. The reports, they abandoned many of the monitoring wells out there, and the remediation was a success. It did show drastic reduction in that plume. Some of the last meetings I had with regional boards showed the plume had reduced by as much as 85%. So they did get good treatment out there. Again, we've been monitoring since August 2000 on a monthly basis, as well as you know, we reduced the production out of that well for several years. That's probably why we got 14 years out of a pump that normally only lasts 10 years. But there's no reason to believe we could pull that into the system at this point. I guess it's always a possibility. In the net result is that's why we're monitoring quarterly.
Okay, good. And I had a question also on contract 12 for the well siting. Is that being coordinated with the Cleith report as far as impacts or potential impacts to seawater intrusion?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the contract itself references a 2005. We did a well siting report that Cleith was asked to go out and basically look at the existing wells we have. Farrell, there's a well that they say sanded up. We're not really sure what the story on that is, other than it is a deep well and it's a large producing well. So there's also the 8th Street upper aquifer well. There's a South Bay upper aquifer well. So these are known sites. They're on our property. And so what we want to do is look at those resources. If they can be rehabbed and put back into production, that's what we want to look at. We are currently looking to pull the pump that is in the Farrell Street. What we want to do is get soundings of those wells and do some initial water quality analysis and see, you know, what's the potential. And, in fact, if there are nitrates, what are those levels?
At full production with the 10th Street well, I'm not quite sure yet. I mean, we scaled it back for a while the MTBE monitoring started.
We're still not online with 10th Street. We've, in the startup, we go through what's called a flash chlorination process to clean the well. We've been pumping it. For some reason, the turbidities are up. We've talked with Cleith, and we've just taken samples and run those to the laboratory. We're trying to figure out what's going on with that well. Apparently, after they pulled the well, the new pump, we're not being able to get that water to clear up, and we're not sure exactly what's going on there.
But so, that sounds like more of a replacement of the pump issue, not MTBE related.
Yeah, no, this is not water quality related.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Once we get the pump squared away, will we get full production out of that well?
Oh, yeah.
It won't be influenced by the MTBE plant.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've been full production right up to, I think it was the end of November when we started having problems kicking out breakers, and then ultimately it was a motor problem.
Okay.
But we were in full production at that well.
The Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge Estates, now we monitor and send reports to the regional board. What's in those reports? We're not monitoring for nitrate. What are we monitoring there for and reporting? Because we're talking about installing monitoring systems to help us determine nitrate levels and reductions. So I was just wondering what we do. Is it quantity? Is that it?
There's flow. Quantity's one of the parameters we look at there. With respect to the actual discharge, there's a TDS, which really doesn't have... the TDS is whatever that water supply is going to be.
Right.
And that particular water supply in that area is Cal City. So you look at their water report, and that's pretty much going to be the TDS and what you use. There's not a real requirement, let's say, in wastewater treatment where you would have a BOD or a TSS, a permit requirement to reduce solids or suspendage or whatever it may be. Because it is a septic system, the state doesn't consider septic systems treatment processes.
Okay.
So really what we're monitoring there, what they're concerned is the tank's getting overloaded, not pumped regularly.
I'm assuming we're starting to conserve. Thanks, everybody. Couple questions about Contract 6 and the utility line replacement. I'm still very unclear about the people that we hired to do that work. And, I mean, you went through a whole analysis of whether it was cheaper to do it in-house or with temporary help or contract help. We're doing it in-house, but we hired people specifically to do this work. When this work's done, we still have those employees on staff. So to me, it's a little bit, it's fuzzy to say that we're doing it in-house when we hired people just to do it, when we could have hired them temporarily and not had the expense of keeping them on payroll after the project's done.
Yeah, let me clear that up for
you. Okay.
The in-house, in effect, was in-house with temporary employees.
Yeah.
The hired employees for this project have been hired. They are contract employees. As a matter of fact, the contracts expire August 2007, which is essentially the termination of our installment sales agreement with the state for this phase of the work on these these capital improvement projects. So, to answer your question, these are not regular full-time employees. Once the project is done, that's the end of the contract. What I can say for this crew, you guys got a great bunch of folks out there doing the work for you. I know going into hiring them, there's a lot of speculation how you're not going to be able to find people out there willing to work only for a temporary job, blah, blah, blah. Well, I can tell you, you've got a heck of a crew out there doing the work on a daily basis. They put as much work and as much thought into their work as anyone on my crew.
That wasn't where I was going. I was just confused, I guess, about the difference between temporary employees and contract employees and trying to look at what the cost difference between those two would be.
It was one and the same. When I referred to in-house, I meant by in-house LOCSD temporary employees, not in-house regular employees.
Okay.
Director Sassana, the temporary employees are, in fact, contract employees. It's interchangeable.
Right.
And what happens is once this project goes away,
you would have done it with temporary employees, and I'm just wondering how that can be. What's the difference? Okay, we'll get that
clear. Oh, okay. I see what your point is. The temporary LOC, I should have, for clarification, and I thank you for pointing that out, that probably should have said that's, you're looking at the $750 per unit for the temporary LCS
yes.
crew. That was the engineer's estimate.
Right.
For that crew to do it. So when I reference in-house actual costs, it's the temporary crew, but the actual cost, not an estimate of what that work would have cost. So I hope that clears that up, but I can make that note and make it much clearer.
Well, I did see that the temporary estimate was an estimate from, a consulting engineer somewhere okay, we'll get this straightened out. Thanks.
Thank you. Director, Vice President Fouché.
Thank you for the report, Ms. Marlanis. Just a couple of quick questions. Actually, not even quick questions. I like the numbers that we saw, that 7% reduction in water usage from this year to last year. It's hard to say what's all attributed to that, but it's a reduction that's in the right direction, and I encourage everybody to conserve water. Please do that. When are we getting the CLEAF report for the characterization of the upper basin? That's, I believe, ongoing. From Cleith. I know it's not part of your report, but that's something I want to ask.
Yeah, and that's where you are still pursuing that. That is another contract that will be coming before you. I believe the contract or the agreement has been forwarded to Cleith for their proposal, and it's just putting together that staff note and bringing it forward.
Okay.
This is the
$30,000 for
wide characterization of the pharmaceuticals and those types of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Director Tacker, did you have any questions or comments this time? I have one, and I'm sorry, but I thought we already approved that characterization. It's already approved, I thought.
We have. It has to do with the contract language with the consultant.
The contract, yeah.
Contract
the contract,
language.
I believe, went to legal counsel and Cleith
considered. And I think we need to talk because there's other options that may come available and prior to bringing that to the board. I do need to talk with them about it. I've discussed, and I haven't been able to even sit down today and talk to Mr. Milanis, but there's a possibility that there may be an alternative or lysimeter installation kits that we would have to look at that may be at a substantial savings. So we'll bring that back to you. And we will not be making an award of any kind for the amounts we're seeing right now without coming to you.
Okay, so not next week. Wouldn't be ready by next week by any chance?
No, probably not. Unless we have a major breakthrough, then we'll hold a special meeting and we'll get it done.
Okay, and I don't have any other questions at this time. I'd thank you for the report, and we'll continue on. And if you could hang around for public comment, there might be more questions. Great. Okay, that's is Ms. McClanahan here for a written report summary?
Madam President, she was out reported sick today, so she's not present this evening.
Okay, and then Mr. McClendon, are you with us now? Shoot. Oh my gosh, we lost. Brittany's, we're having some technical difficulties. We weren't going to report again on district from the district council anyhow on status of litigation. I wasn't prepared to do that tonight. That'll be next week anyhow, because we've already reported out of closed session from last week, and there'll be more to report next week, more actions. So I wasn't planning to do any written. There's no written reports, correct? No. So, okay, that completes the written administrative reports. Now let's move on to committee reports. Start with you, Director Sennett, Finance Committee. Do you have anything you'd like to orally report from your committee?
Yes, I'd like to report that we did have a financial committee meeting on last Monday, and we chose our chairperson, Leon Golden, and we've tentatively, because of the changing schedules of all the meetings in regard to the cease and desist orders, it's really scrambled our schedules. And for the time being, it looks like we're going to be meeting on Mondays. We're going to have another meeting next Monday, and I've got to get the agenda out for that. We basically... alternate chair. So that's all I really have to report.
Okay, so your next meeting is next Monday at the district office?
Pardon?
Next Monday at the district
office? The next meeting will be at the district office at 6 o'clock. Is that right, Jack? 5? Okay, that's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, 5 o'clock.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Monday.
Okay, next Monday, Finance Committee, and that'll be overlapping with the open house, but we'll work it out. Okay, Director Sasania?
If you remember correctly, the Environmental Committee had sort of a pre-official meeting, and we set up our next meeting for next Tuesday, and then some people brought it to my attention that that's Valentine's Day. Does that ring a bell with anybody? I don't know. And so we're a little bit fuzzy about whether we're going to meet that day or put it off for 24 hours. We were talking about a week even, but now we're talking about having a workshop that next Tuesday. So I'm not sure. We're going to be in email dialogue. I think our committee is probably one that comes in a half step behind wastewater and finance anyway in terms of actions. So we're dialoguing and bringing up the issues. The one, I guess, that I would say, committee members, we might be looking at is whether or not a CEQA action is necessary for the required septic tank pumping that's been ordered. You know, all that water leaving our water basin, all those truck trips, all that kind of thing. The Water Board did lose a case in Southern California where they put out a what's called a TMDL, which is essentially a pollution limit that is allowable for the Los Angeles River. The TMDL was zero for trash, and the cities and counties were supposed to keep all trash out of the Los Angeles River. And the court said, that'll be a big effort. You need an environmental impact report before you can order that done. So I don't know if that would apply here or not, but it's that sort of thing that we'll be looking at.
Thank you. Vice President Fouché, do you have anything to add about your wastewater committee?
Yes, I'd like to report that we had a wastewater committee this last Tuesday night, and we basically went through the bylaws, did introductions, got contact information going for everybody. You know, one of our members wasn't present at the meeting, due to being out of town, so we decided to hold off till the next meeting to... Okay, we'll have to work that out. This month and next month, and see how that works out and whether or not it's necessary, and have any special meetings as required. We talked about the RFP a little bit. We talked about on-site a little bit. We talked about the water board meeting that we had last Tuesday, Dan and I. And we also talked about the wastewater strategic plan that Bruce Buell had developed for us as we requested from him last month. And that was pretty much, and we set an agenda for next week, but I don't have it in front of me, but there was a couple items on that, and I'm going by memory like Steve, but it was a good meeting. It went a little longer than I was hoping for. We're trying to limit the amount of time that we're going to have the meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Tacker?
I will just announce that emergency services will meet on the third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month, it's February 21st at the South Bay Community at South Bay Fire Department. What time are you meeting? Yours are at 6:30. Ours are at 6 at the fire department. So. Right, but sometimes people like to go to both, John, and that's something that I didn't want to do, but we can address that as it comes up. I think the different interests for different folks, but we'll just do it this time. We could talk. Let's talk.
Director Tacker, didn't you want to report on your ad hoc committees as well?
Our community outreach ad hoc committee met for the first time last Friday. It was get to know you, and it was very nice to meet. Not everybody made it, but we're going to meet again tomorrow. What I did feel very productive in that we developed a press release for the media from the actions the board took the night before. And you'll see that the Bay News may have listened to that press release. There's several stories in there looks like they were prompted by the press release. And then there's, I heard all Monday morning a reference to our press and sort of set a roadmap for what our committee's going to do, pick a chair, those kinds of things. So,
Director Tacker, didn't you want to talk about CBDG?
Yes. I and some other citizens attended on Tuesday the Community Development Block Grant meeting that was held here in the Community Center. Community Development Block Grants are funded by HUD, and they are there's a certain amount of money that's given to the county to distribute among... ideally, it's for citizens that are, below 80% of median income. So they have goals for these monies that are intended for low-income organizations, facilities, that kind of thing. And what's kind of exciting for Los Osos is that the community center is considered a facility that's used by low-income people, and they submitted a grant application for $13,500 towards remodeling their restrooms to be up to date with the ADA compliance. And it's, like I said, it's exciting in that the county staff is recommending to the County Board of Supervisors, who distributes this money, to accept that grant, and maybe even a little bit more money hopefully will be available for the community center. So Tony Navarro from County Planning brought us that information, and he said that he seldom sees the board change his recommendations. So he felt very positive that the community center would receive those funds, but letters from the community of support or if you would like to appear at that hearing. That's not till April, I believe, but we'll get back to you with that date to support the community center receiving those funds. That's absolutely appropriate. So I thought that was really exciting to see some of that money come to Los Osos. In the past, the district has applied for these kinds of grants towards low-income laterals, and it's about being ready, and we weren't ready to receive those funds.
I would appreciate it. This is an ad hoc committee. It's our Grants and Fundraising Committee.
Hi, my name is Peter Brewer. We basically sort of forged ahead. We collected a bunch of grants and put them in a table, and then we split up the work. Certain people are working on certain grants, including the block grants that you mentioned. We're trying to find basically do the groundwork for these grants, try to get them ready, all the information, pre-application forms, stuff like that. Contact the individuals who are in charge of the grants, find out as much as we can about them, and then get to a certain point where then the board, who obviously you guys are pretty busy, can sort of just jump in and take over from there, hopefully, and not have to work really hard. But that's kind of where we're at right now.
Any questions from the board on this committee for Mr. Brewer?
No questions, just thanks.
Mr. Brewer, I have one quick question, if you don't mind. Besides, thanks. I know you guys have been forging ahead, and you're way ahead of all of us with your good research. Do you have anybody on your committee right now that is interested in helping us do the preliminary writing for the grants or attending training for writing if you don't have the training?
Right. Well, just about everybody's interested in that, but there's someone in our committee, I guess you know her, Athena Stairs. She apparently is trying to do that as a part of her education. I think she's working with an organization that will help you do the pre-applications and applications. I think it's down in Santa Maria, and what I was planning on doing was going ahead and putting together stuff that I'm interested in and taking it down there and say, hey, you know, help me put this thing together, at least get it as far as I can without your inclusion, just to see, like, how you would do it. But, yeah, I mean, courses, that would be great. I mean, for some of us who can do that, yeah, I think that'd be great. And I think I'm supposed to talk to Gail. I guess Gail McPherson has actually succeeded in getting a couple of similar grants in the past. And so I plan on talking to her about how she was able to accomplish that sometime very, very soon.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Brewer. And if anybody in the community, in the audience, or at home is listening and has ideas for grants or contact people or experience, I'm sure the committee would welcome your input. So please contact them. I don't know if you know, but Ms. Jan Harper has agreed to be the staff liaison for all committees. And so she's the contact person in the office. If you need information about what all the committees are doing or who's involved or what the emails are or what the minutes are. So she is our contact person. And then I wanted to ask the board, did you committees for the National Estuary Program? And Director Sassania and I are sharing that role. I'm on the executive committee. Chuck's on the implementation committee, and there's also a technical committee that we'll be participating in, and we'll be sharing those. In addition, I attended the executive committee this week, had a very nice introduction and a welcome from the committee, Mr. Berman's office in Morro Bay. There's quite a few, there's 11 people on the executive committee, and the Los Osos CST has one of those seats. And so we're going to be participating, and I asked for time on their next agenda, and we'll be presenting to the Morro Bay Estuary Program our current progress for our project. So I have been made that request, and it was received favorably. And then in addition to that, there's a new committee that is just formed called, it's through Cal Poly. And if anybody in the audience is listening, it's called Ecosystem-Based Management Arm. I don't know how else to put it. It's a research arm. They received a large chunk of funding for the next 3 years, and we're looking forward to serving as advisory to them too. And we noticed we were on their flowchart, and if anybody knows about that, please contact me, because we'll be participating in that too. So minutes from those meetings are all posted on the Morro Bay National Estuary website, and we'll have a link to our site if we don't have one already. We'll have a link so you can look it up and ask any questions on that. Any questions from the board and NEP right now? Okay, that kind of sums up all the committee reports. We have a lot of activities going, and encourage everybody. You're invited. All these meetings are open. They're open to the public. You're invited to participate in any way that you can. Committees are a much better way to get the details of information that you can't get done in a business meeting. Some of the questions that we're asking here can be better handled in committee where you can really discuss them. So that's why we are going to keep this going really active. So now we're going to go to the consent calendar, and we need to know from the board if anybody wants to pull any of the items, and I'm going to read them for the public so they know. Four is receive the administrative and committee reports. Five is the financial reports. Six is the investment reports. Seven is adopt the minutes from previous meetings. Eight is authorize application for state revolving fund loan. And nine is create district engineer position and authorize recruitment. Those are all on consent. Would any board member like to pull any of these items?
Number nine.
Director Sassanio would like to pull number nine.
Well, same thing as last week, and I don't think we've had enough discussion. I haven't in my own mind, and I've seen the report, and I'm just not clear about the why and everything else. Mm-hmm. I'm not without a good discussion.
And I'm not ready to do that tonight either, so we're going to have to continue item seven. And we're pulling items eight and nine for discussion, and we may continue them or we may hear them tonight depending on public comment, how long public comment goes. So we're pulling state revolving fund loan app, and we're pulling district engineer position and authorized recruitment app, number nine, and we're continuing item seven, which is the minutes. Okay, so at this time, we're going to have public comment on all the oral administrative reports, the written administrative reports, the committee reports, and items four, five, and six. And seven, you can comment on because it was on the agenda. And then we'll take items eight and nine separately. So, and I'd like to take a break for 10 minutes for public before we do public comment. Thanks very much. 10 minutes, please. Everybody, we're going to get started again. We're going to start the meeting. Before we have public comment, I just wanted to make one announcement since we've been getting a lot of questions about it. And Mr. Blesky, if you could add in here if I don't get it, because you were in court today. But in brief, everyone's been asking about the case that went to court today. You might have noticed that the paper announced the date for tomorrow. And they read that off the docket. It was not their fault. They thought that the hearing was going to be tomorrow. So, in fact, it was today. And the hearing was the contractors were seeking a TRO against the district. And, Mr. Blesky, maybe you could sum it up for just briefly.
It was basically Monterey Mechanical and Barnard Construction. Whitaker was not a party. And I want to make that clear. And essentially what the temporary restraining order was for was basically to disallow the CSD from divesting itself of any of its facilities, its real estate, primarily any real estate sales. That was denied. And the other thing is that after a long, it was a long day, but in the end what the judge ruled, he denied the temporary restraining order on withholding our or freezing our funds, but he did have some questions on the disbursements of the settlements that we reached earlier in the year from our wastewater fund. So he froze our further payments for those settlements, and there's been some discussion on that. His Honor, Judge Paquet, a couple interesting things. He did ask for us to provide the payment schedule to him tomorrow, and it was a rather long process, but basically we still can proceed with our projects.
Okay, and then the next hearing on that item would be in a month. Is that true? Did you get a date?
Is it March 7th? I don't remember. I got so many dates on my mind.
It's March 7th. That's the next hearing on the injunction on March 7th. So that's. But some of you may or may not know when we agreed to the settlement agreements with the attorneys, they had a 12-month payment, no interest plan, and so their payments were not all collected at one time. They were trying to work with us to get us through this rough patch here, and we were paying them over 12 months interest free. So, is there anything else to add on the hearing? Anybody? Okay, right now we're going to open it up to public comment. Before I do, Mr. Miller is going home, and we are continuing item number 9, which is create district engineer position. If you wish to speak on it, you are totally allowed to do that, and we're just continuing that item to a future date, and it will be on our agenda, so you'll be aware of it. So we're continuing the board minutes, we're continuing the engineer position, and we're at the rate it looks right now, we're probably going to continue number 8 as well, which is authorize the state revolving fund loan project. So, but you're welcome to speak on all these items because they were on consent. Mr. Blesky?
Madam President, one of the things about the item number 8 is that we would like to ratify the action for the pre-application for the package that we put in today to at least authorize that. Essentially we may be able to get through that whole thing very quickly because it's a fairly straightforward item.
Okay, let's leave item 8 on the agenda tonight then. Okay, everybody agree with that, board? Okay, public comment, please. We're going to talk about item 8 separately then.
Oh, Madam President, can you hear me? This is John.
Yes.
I just want to let you know the fix we did during the break is day and night better. I can hear you much better now.
Good. Okay, we were just mumbling to him before. Thank you, Bob. Okay, public comment. Step right up. On the consent calendar only. This is not general public comment. Public comment on the consent calendar and the oral and administrative reports.
Don Bearden, Los Sosos. I want to talk about the 2,812% budget overruns. Okay, page 33. similar type of thing on miscellaneous fees, 2,473%. That doesn't look very good. Something needs to be changed. And the page just before page 45.
Oliver?
Talking about check numbers 1016, 1017, 18, 19, 20, et cetera, a grand total of $824,446. I noticed that they're almost all lawyer fees. Two of them, I don't even know who they are. Here we are, some more lawyers' fees. Crawford, Moultrie, and Clark, $76,735.
That's an environmental consultant.
Okay. And Michael Drake and Gillespie Law Group, is that your other, is that the Drake? Is that how much you had to pay Drake to get rid of him?
Finish your comments and we'll reply.
Okay. Anyway, that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bearden. Crawford, Montari & Clark is an environmental consulting firm. Michael Drake, that was a settlement of his contract. He was an employee here, public information officer for approximately 3 months.
Madam President, let me just add that included 6 months of severance for 3 months of work.
That's the way his contract was written. Okay. Ms. Walsh.
Jerry Walsh. I'd like to reiterate what I previously said about the regional boards giving a number to all property owners in the prohibition zone in one random numbering and only giving out a letter to the lowest 50 numbers. All realtors who have homes listed for sale in the prohibition zone now, all sellers of these homes, and all realtors representing buyers purchasing homes in the prohibition zone should be concerned about this. I can possibly understand not giving out the names, but the addresses should be known. That's interfering with realtors disclosing facts that will be potentially financially liable. And as a real prohibition zone, in what order they're in. So I ask that you again ask the regional board for these addresses. Thank you.
I'd like to. Is staff asked for this? Like to ask, did staff ask for these names and/or addresses?
We have not gotten the letter out as of yet, just due to available time that we've had on other items.
Okay, and then I'd just like to direct staff to add to that letter. I want to know the random process that was used, how the process was randomly. I want to know the explanation of that. If you could include that in the letter.
Yes, Madam President.
The methodology.
There's one other question I have on that is that if there's a pending action on this and there's a potential for lien, does the regional board have to record those actions? I mean, or some way so that it can show up associated with the APN number? You know, it's real interesting that it doesn't seem like they've thought this through at all.
Could you add that to the letter as well? That's a good question. Next speaker, please.
Hi, Pat Renshaw. I just want to thank the Utilities Department and Steve Sennett for putting a sign at the end of my street that says dead end, because people come racing down the street and they don't realize it's a dead end. So I just want to thank you and thank George and the guys that came and put it in. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next speaker, please.
Peter Arnold. I have some more questions about the cease and desist report you had earlier. You didn't mention the fact that everybody's going to be on the list is going to, next few months, we're all going to get letters. So I don't see why you are starting a fund. I think you should save your money for your own pumping. And there's been letters in the editor saying people, we should band together and people should volunteer to pump for someone else. I mean, you're going to be able to pump here shortly for your own self. So a friend of mine went in and talked to Roger Briggs on Monday because he was one of the people who got one of the five people who got the order when they weren't supposed to have it. And Mr. Briggs told him that more letters are coming very soon. So we're all going to get a letter. So it doesn't do any good to volunteer now because you're going to get it later on. And I don't think you made that clear that we're all, it's not just some people in the community think they just selected 50 people.
Joyce Albright, Los Osos. I just wanted to point out that I've added up all the legal expenses here. On page 36, the legal expenses are $215,430. On a couple of other pages, you paid Biggs Law Firm $155,300. You paid Shipsey and Sites $39,900. Zimmer Legal Services $5,000. And Zoll Hearings, what are those? Are those, is that legal services? Anyway, it comes to over $400,000 that you have paid out in legal services for 1 month. And this is quite a budget if you're going to pay out $400,000 a month for the rest of the year. That's an enormous amount of money, isn't it?
Director Tacker? Mr. Blesky, we have no other services coming from Zimmer.
No, that is a debt incurred for the old board to block the election.
Oh, I think some of these, I'm sure
some of
we're the, not
some of these costs too are also associated with the taxpayers. Watch lawsuits, which Ms. Albright is a part of.
Okay. That's it. Come on. That is the truth, but let's keep our comments to ourselves as far as that vocal part, and let's go on. Mr. Ricano? Oh, Mr. Sennett, excuse me.
I'd like to add very quickly that, you know, these concerns about financial expenditures and things can be taken up at the financial committee meetings. So we encourage you to come and bring concerns, bring them up so we can agendize them, discuss them, and shed some light on them. So if you're concerned about legal expenses and things like that, that is an issue that we're grappling with and trying to resolve. Unfortunately, the legal expenses do persist, and maybe people that are really interested in that.
It's easy to come through when there's no pressure on. It would be very easy for this board to sit there and lead this community if you weren't getting hit from every single direction. But you are being hit from every direction, and so more power to you that you've been able to put the committees together, vet the projects, and actually get moving with the project. And that's exactly the point I'm making with these comments about the community. I think that these are excellent ideas that you're coming up with, that the community wants to help one another. I got this tie 2 days ago at the thrift store on 10th Street. I walked in, and the two ladies came running out of the back. We found you a tie. We think you'll like this tie. The whole community is just pulling together, and so I just think that it's always a good idea to pull together, especially at times like this. Then there's the idea about grants. We heard some about grants earlier. It's a great thing when you have people that are knowledgeable, And they're putting putting their contribution in for the community, what they know best, because we all have our different areas of expertise. I just want to say that, in conclusion, the regional board, it's been very clear to me from the beginning that the regional board has been pulling kind of a topsy-turvy on us. I don't believe that they could possibly choose 50 people, and it doesn't matter why, and it doesn't matter if it's random. Equal protection under the law. I'm no lawyer, but I can tell you, either they prosecute everyone or they don't. The idea that one of the nice gentlemen had said that, oh, everyone's going to, you know, that's just not true. Those are fear tactics. That's fear-mongering. What it is it's the attempt at a divide-and-conquer strategy. And I'll tell you now, I can tell that this community will not be divided and it will not be conquered. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
I'm Gail Smith. I live in Los Osos. I'm confused. I don't think I've heard really anybody speak on things on the agenda. Corner of Los Osos Valley Road and South Bay Boulevard. Why can't we put a blurb there? Everybody goes past there. And maybe a blurb on the local news. I'm sure they would do it for us. And my tip from having been through this before is when you go to a restaurant and you're not going to drink the water, don't ask them not to bring it to you. Because it's not just the water in the glass, it's the water to wash it and everything else. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Deegan. Okay. good suggestions. I'd like to direct staff, Mr. Busky and Mr. Milanos, to work on her suggestions. I think they're good ones.
We'll take that for action.
Okay. Mr. Cooper.
Bo Cooper. The Water Board divide and conquer strategy, the fear-mongering that they're doing, I'd like to offer a different alternative, a different approach to combating that. When they did the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock said to the representatives of the 13 colonies, we must all hang together. And Benjamin Franklin wisely said, yes, we must surely hang together or else we will all hang alone, each hang separately. Right? I think each of the people needs to be represented by the board. My thought is that the CSD board should be the only designated representative, the only designated party. Everybody else should be an interested party. We should all collect, and the CSD board should be the only point person to the agency. This is thinking outside the box. This is not the game that the regional board is offering to you. I say you need to be assertive. You need to redefine the game. I think it's essential that the board has the expertise, the ability that the individuals don't have, and I'd like to see the CSD be brave, be courageous, step outside the box, and do the right thing for the community. The individuals are too vulnerable. You do represent the will of the people. You are the will of the people. And the will of the people needs to speak fully and clearly to the Water Board and to be our voice. And I'm really strong on this. I don't think the individual should hang alone. I think that's essential that you guys step forward. And if that doesn't happen, I will be pressing to encourage you to have the leadership to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Our next speaker, please.
Dance music. Okay. Lacey Cooper. I just want to add a few comments to what Bo was saying. I would like toilets, water conservation, not pilot septic things, but actually a counter proposal, it's not a legal thing, but a counter proposal saying we will manage our district, we will manage the prohibition zone, because they also say that it's not, in another Q&A section, they say it's not just, hey, my septic tank isn't polluting. They say, well, no, it's a district-wide problem. Everybody's contributing. So if everybody's contributing, you're the lead agency for the entire prohibition zone. So I feel they should just go through you. You should be the people making the proposal to them, a counter-proposal. And the legalities, I don't know, but I think challenging it before March 23rd is a good idea. Whatever, a temporary stay on all this, because I think they are wrong in their approach. I think we need a new paradigm. You are responsible for the whole prohibition zone as a CSD board. That's what I would like to see. And it's not about defending individuals. It's about we would get one cease and desist order. The one cease and desist order should be for the entire basin. You can come up with a good water conservation and affluent management proposal to them. And I think it's worth pursuing. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be like aggressive or putting them, you know, on the defensive, but saying, hey, we'll manage it. We'll do it. We'll come up with lowering those nitrates without this kind of individual punishment scheme. So I'm hoping you'll really give that a lot of good thought, because it needs to be done before you get in the groove of going along with their paradigm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Oh, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ms. Fielding?
It would be more appropriate for...
Oh, I'm sorry. This would be more appropriate for general public comment, if you don't mind. Because we're... Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, you want me to go? What's the board's pleasure? Okay. Sorry.
We have to wait, right?
We have to wait. Mr. Swanson.
You guys got a great bunch of people to help this community. Grant committee, great bunch of people working for this community. That's what's going to solve this problem, is this community getting together, attending the committee meetings, steering the direction for the community in the future to solve this problem once and for all. Just a clarification on Drake, that was hired by the old board, the old staff, and they drew up the contract and we were stuck with it. I had a couple questions concerning the water utilities report. I just wanted to find out what the status was on the $1.2 million building for the water department. And then I had a question regarding the employees themselves that are temporary employees. Are these part-time employees or are they full-time employees? That's reflected here in the charts that you have. If it's, you know, if you're paying them full-time, the numbers don't reflect that. But if it's part-time, that might explain it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Milanis, could you quickly answer those two questions about the building and about the employees?
Yes. The employees are full-time employees under contract. They're paid hourly. They are given holidays. They do not accrue vacation time, nor sick time, nor are they offered any types of benefits. It's strictly an hourly with holidays included.
And
there was
the
one more question,
building,
I'm sorry.
About the $1.2 million building. Where's the status of the building?
There is no status at this point.
We're on hold on that, right?
Right.
No progress.
Yeah, we don't foresee that moving forward, at least not in this first time frame before the termination of this contract.
Okay, thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Gail McPherson. I'm one of those crazy people who is going to pump my septic tank outside of the prohibition zone in lieu of somebody else who may not be able to afford to. And I encourage everyone outside the prohibition sitting in the water. And in those places, I would think that people would want to stop polluting. I remember hearing someone say, every time I flush the toilet, I just feel so guilty because I'm poisoning the water. Why don't those people... I mean, we all are going to end up, is what the earlier speaker said, getting one of these cease and desist orders. They're in the mail. That's true. But the ones that should start now voluntarily are the ones that are sitting in the groundwater and feeling so guilty about it. I think that would go a long way to giving the message that this is something that we take personal responsibility for. And if we have alternatives, site-specific alternatives, we should look at those and the costs. And that's why I invite people to the meeting on the 17th. In that meeting, we discussed all of the process and the procedures. what the difference is between a designated and an interested party. Essentially, everyone in the prohibition zone is going to be a designated party, and they're all going to have a hearing. And I would like the regional board to have separate hearings because that's the right of each of those homeowners. And by doing so, it certainly can make them do their job. And then in proposing solutions, I think the CSD, through its septic management program, can come up with the group solutions that Lacey was speaking of. So anyway, I encourage people to come to that meeting, become educated, because yes, you are on the list. And those of you that are outside the prohibition zone and also flushing your toilets, know that our water is all in one basin. It's all in one cup, and we're all drinking out of the same basin. So I would encourage you just to become part of the solution as well. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, Vice President Fouché.
Dan, do we know the capacity of the pumping companies in this area, how many trucks they could actually physically do per day, their capacity to pump? Is that?
I do not know that number. I know we were discussing a number that was brought up previously, like 220 truck trips a day. And I didn't look at, I didn't look at that number that was brought up when we talked to regional, but evidently that's floated around before. But I don't know if that includes cycle time or, you know, access time or turnaround time on those vehicles. Judging by some of the ways the calculations have been done by regional with their assumptions, they may not be doing it the way that a contractor or someone would look at. But, no, we don't know what the availability or the capacity.
Now, there is no septage receiving facility in this San Luis Obispo County, and that is the primary facility for both Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County. So I think disposal of septage would be nearly impossible, certainly at those numbers, if those are accurate at all. But all of that has to be considered when Los Osos begins to pump septic tanks. It has to have a place to go. And septage is different than sludge, and how a sewer treatment plant processes that is unique in that these other facilities throughout our county do not do it. It is a highly concentrated material and can upset their plant. So they have to very carefully meter that flow into their daily flow and consequently into their sludge byproducts and on it's ongoing. So I think Mr. Cecinia's suggestion that the Environmental Review Committee look at the CEQA implications of such a regime and such a burden on the environment, even more so than the people of Los Osos, the environment and the impacts are tremendous. And I think it's this. I don't believe the regional board has looked at it in the very large picture. So I would encourage you to do that.
There comes another issue, too, is that when you look at the basin plan, and it's going to be going through an update, and then we have new ordinances and regulations on sustainability given by the state board, you know, how do they factor that in, and how much water is going to be leaving the basin, and what's the environmental impact on that? By that water leaving the basin, how is that going to impact seawater intrusion? How is that going to impact the drawing down of the upper aquifer? There's a lot of questions here that have not been well thought out.
Director Sennett?
I think there's also a feasibility aspect of is there capacity to accept our septage hauling? Are there trucks enough to accomplish it? And what is the limitation that those factors, which is, you know, might be looked at as a nuisance in some ways? But you are using, if you want to fill it properly and not see debris go into your leach field, you are going to be using fresh water, domestic water, potable water, out the door, pump from the lower aquifer and just discharge into the upper.
Okay, next speaker, please.
Dick Sargent, Los Osos. You guys ought to listen to yourselves. You're scratching each other's ears, and it's nothing but just smoke and mirrors. You're trying to figure something out that's been figured out. You pretend to be engineers and experts, and the experts are the ones that are trying to get you to do the right thing. And here you are, environmentalists, defying environmental facts. You're just totally out of what you... I told you. You know, I told you about a month ago, you're bankrupt. Well, you are. You're bankrupt in ideas. The meltdown has begun. And you are bankrupt in a way, I say, if you'd planned, I don't think you planned to pay these people. Here you got these accounts payable. And of all these contractors, the total is $4,240,272. I gather from your past ethics, you don't plan on paying. And you, Mr. Promise Breaker, you're the expert at breaking promises. And you guys are following this hired gun that's come up. He'll leave you as soon as the money runs out. So nobody's thinking one more last thing. I happen to be one of them. This is interesting. Chris, I think, I forget his last name. He was complaining that he was discriminated against because he was called up to pump his tanks. Well, guess what? I feel that I have been honored to also be in his company. So we're both going to go for the Good Housekeeping Award for the septic tank cleansing of Los Osos. So I'm looking forward. I sent my letter back. I intend to cooperate. And from listening to you folks, you intend to defy. You've done nothing else but defy. You guys, I wonder what you do with telephone bills. You refuse to pay them? You let the tickets that you get for parking just sit in your glove compartment? Some people can't handle day-to-day situations, and you sound like that type of people. And if an attorney asks, there we go. Okay, that's enough on that. By the way, there's a petition drive going. We'd like to urge everybody.
But you have to realize that these people, better than me, this is their livelihood, this is what they do, and they analyze projects for their impacts. And we have conflicting laws here. The Water Board is talking about clean water without the regard for clean air, noise, and other impacts that what they're proposing will cause. So I think we're questioning the balance for clean water and these other impacts, and that's all.
Okay, Mr. Bleski?
Well, there's no such thing as apathy or non-passionate people in Los Osos, so I can respect the speaker for that, but informed is one that I really would like to help him with. First of all, let me say a couple of things here. We're looking at this septic management system, which was required by the board, by the regional board. That was a requirement. It's been years and nothing's been done. Anybody that's been around septic or sewer knows that that kind of a program is the lowest lying fruit on the tree. It's cheap, it's quick, and it shows progress. That was not done for years. Now, the other thing that comes down to it, too, is that what we're looking at here is progress towards the regional board with a septic management plan. Why wasn't that done years ago? I can tell you why, and this is going to be my opinion. What you had in the advice of the consultant that was on board at that time, Montgomery Watson Harza, that company is a corporation that is born. The part that you experienced here in Los Osos was born out of the Clean Water Act. Their job is to build large plants, and they sold you a plant. So do you think that they were going to advise you about low-lying fruit when they had hundreds of millions of dollars in potential fees available? Come on. Doesn't take anybody to figure that out. Now, let me speak in defense of the old board. The old board approached the regional board with the best data that they had at the time. And in my heart of hearts, I don't believe they intended to fail. Now, they also thought that they were dealing with a government agency, which, by the way, represents uses that were perpetrated on those individuals who had an expectation of success did not know until it was too late. That's what happened. And I have no problem with sticking around here. You know, I've been paid far less and lived in mud holes. But it's a privilege to be here, and I don't intend to run out when the money runs out.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And then I just, Mr. Sargent, maybe you missed the beginning of the meeting, but I wanted to tell you about, we have been meeting with the regional board. We don't tend to ignore their rules, and I think that's okay. I mean, he'll listen at home. I hope he'll listen at home. These are important things. We have started adopting a septic management plan. We're looking for legislation. We're trying to comply with the water board. We are. And so when you get those kind of accusations, they're not true. They're not true. And we're meeting with the regional board just this week. It was a productive meeting. Mr. Blesky and Vice President Fouché and Rob Miller were there. They had a productive meeting. We have the same goals. We are not ignoring water quality. But when you propose something like pumping a septic tank 6 times a year and it doesn't achieve water quality, you have to question it. We are based in science and engineering, and we have to question the motives of that. If it doesn't solve the problem, why would we do it? Why would you spend the money doing it if it doesn't solve it? That's why we're questioning it. It's not that we don't want to clean the water. Director Sassania, did you want to say something? Okay. So, again, let's keep going. Next speaker, please.
Larry Bishop, Los Osos. You guys like to talk numbers, so I have a few numbers here for you. I understand there's 5,000 septic tanks in town here. That comes to 30,000 pumpings a year. That's only 30 million gallons of water. And if you divide that by 52 and you divide it by the 4,000 gallons per truck, that's only 29 trucks a day that goes out. However, that's 126,000 gallons that have to go to Santa Maria. And I think that exceeds their capability. And I'm one of the 50. And I feel, talking to the water board, is that they're not really interested in going after 5,000 people. There's no incentive to put a sewer system in because the fine is only $10,000 a day, and it only works out to 1% of the cost of the sewer. So that's their opinion, is there's really no incentive for the board or the next board or the previous board to really get a sewer going because it's cheaper to pay the fines. And what we got to do is prove to them that we're not worried about the fines, we're worried about getting a project in. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, President Schicker, directors, staff, and neighbors. I was going to save this for general comment, but being that the other man brought it up, I feel like I have to bring this up now, too. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I've been away for a few weeks. Marlene McQueen, resident of Los Osos. I've been away for a few weeks and have been recently watching the videos of the board meetings to catch up with what has been happening. In doing so, I have noticed how all five of you have committed yourself to using tact, patience, and respect for all involved. Your ethics are to be commendable. I have learned a lot about sewers and septic tanks from your very informative slide presentations. It doesn't take someone of higher education to understand that the former Tri-W project did not address the saltwater intrusion problem, the nitrate problem, water, or affordability. The only problem that it addressed was satisfying the demands of an egocentric water board member who is using bully tactics to fine and frighten the people of this community. Tonight, I am asking the people of Los Osos to put their trust in our CSD so they can bring us a new project quickly. They are working so hard to do what is right for Los Osos. And I'm asking, please do not sign the petition to dissolve the CSD. Please do not sign our rights away for self-government. This would be a terrible mistake. You will soon be proud to say that you stood firm in the face of adversity, and it won't be long before we have a system that meets the needs of our community.
The agenda for 3 minutes, I could use 10 minutes on both of them. One of the things is the report on the status of litigation. I didn't hear anything mentioned about settling the 218 with LADA. Another thing on the Drake payoff situation, I think that man should have been called the misinformation officer instead of the information officer. He should have been fired for cause by illegally using Channel 20 for electioneering. I don't know why we paid him. Monterey Mechanical, I understood they were going to get some sort of a way of paying for putting Tri-W back into Asia, and ended up they put up their machinery for collateral. Did we get a lien on any of that machinery? I don't see any of it around anywhere. I think we need to go haul that back here or sell it. Let's see. Somebody said something about wanting to see some action from the board. I would like to compliment you on the biggest action you did, and that was stop that nightmare from being built out there. Hopefully the people that think they want that won't ever get their wish, because sometimes we shouldn't get what we're wishing for, and that would be a really bad thing. I've seen on the maps here some nitrate studies or amounts on the well near the, well, anyway, that we could pump for ag exchange, 20 milligrams per liter. I'm going to check and see how many farmers would love to have water with 20 milligrams per liter of nitrate, and that's a lot of nitrate they won't have to buy and spread on their field. And I'd like to know what the total, the average that gets pumped into the bay tests. I don't believe there's ever been any tests on that, even though Sorrel Mark said the last time it was tested, it was very high in nitrates. I wonder, could I get a public request from the water board about what that test was that she was talking about? Because I was never able to get one from the old CSD. And there's about a dozen other things I'd like to talk about here, but I'm out of time.
Yeah, we're still going to have general public comment, so.
Oh, good. As a public citizen, and say whatever he wants without being scolded by staff. I'm sorry. It's inappropriate, and I would have.
Okay. Okay, you made your comments known, please.
And I see Chuck Cicina shaking his head, and I think he was going to say something when it was happening there at the time, but he's not the board president, and he didn't. But that can't happen in the future. It can't happen in the future. Now on to the things that were of importance. Mr. Bearden, please come to the Finance Committee meeting, because the one item that you talked about on page one, that deals with the governance formula. And if you look a little closer at that spreadsheet, you'll notice that there's been no transfers of funds into the administrative fund from other departments at this point. So that number, until that happens, will always be, you know, exponentially larger than the expenses actually were. But if you look up farther, we're really only about 5% over at this point for the year. Now on to the Water Department report. They talk about dissolution. This report is a perfect example why you do not want to dissolve this district. It basically proves that if the county had this project up for the water lines, we may have been paying $1,000 a line, anywhere from $1,000 to $1,250 a line. My problem with this report is George basically gave us proof in this report that it was cheaper and would have been cheaper having three guys replace the lines than five. Water committee needs to get up and running as quick as possible, because if the $1.2 million building for the water department is off the table at this point, that brings that total loan amount well below the $5 million. The savings in this water line project, if all the other contracts come in on schedule, may compensate for the drop in water revenues that has occurred over the last 2 years. Because I heard a comment about a rate structure coming out again, and I hope that's not dealing with increased water rate.
Because it's just troubled me all along, too, the difference between a temporary employee and a contract employee, and how there can be a big difference in...
If you go to page... Let's see, it would be under the contracts 6 page, the chart?
Yes.
Okay. If you pull the numbers off for when there were only three employees, okay, if you total those, and I've done it, and weigh that against when there were five employees, what the average was for that, it's substantially lower for three employees, substantially. And we have till... I think it's August of 2007 to complete this project, and in the 3 months that they were handling it, they did 57 lines, the three guys did. The other thing you may want to notice is at the bottom of that page, September through December, okay, if you follow straight across, the 17,256, it's the same number for the cumulative for the entire project at this time, 17,256. So coming across to the 429, you're not going to... Okay, I mean, you see it now? That's why you got to get water ops going.
Thank you.
Okay, Madam President, if I can comment.
Mr. Buskey?
First of all, let me apologize to the room and the board if it appeared that I was attacking Mr. Sargent. And Director Cesena, I know you and I have talked before, but I have to make a comment. If anyone comes up and impugns my integrity, I have protected that all my life, and I will not let anyone take it and throw it on the ground and stomp on it. And essentially, I will refrain from that, and I apologize, but that was an attack on my integrity, and that's something that I do value. I'm sorry if it came off that way.
I understand that. I think all of us have that happen to us, and I think it's part of our role to have thicker skin, maybe, than we did before we started this mess. I don't want anybody's integrity challenged any more than it has to be, but I don't want the citizens upbraided for speaking their mind. I just think that if the shoe doesn't fit, we don't put it on. But I do appreciate everything you do for us, and you know that.
How many lines there are. We ended up essentially taking baby steps in the approach for this. We authorized three temporary employees to locate lines. We did that exercise. I hired in mid-March. By the end of March, I had the three hired. That exercise went through April, May, June, and somewhere up into July, where, in fact, all we were doing was walking, digging up every service meter. Now, again, if you recall, that was another job that some wanted contracted out. Again, just a little history. I went through that exercise, contacted several excavating companies. I got prices anywhere from $67 per unit to $107. Now, that was just to dig up the meter box and identify the line. I'm not even going to go into those figures, but to dig up 2,800 services at $100 a pop, it's a chunk of money. So if you recall, we started with three. Those
went out. You asked me to put a ceiling on that budget. I did that too for you. I said we could do it for $23,000, and everyone said, well, if you can do it for that, show us. Well, I did. We did identify everything. We came back under the scheduled time for completion. The previous speaker spoke to 57 lines being replaced in that period of time with three. No, it wasn't with three. When we're pulling service lines, just safety-wise, you need traffic control out there. There's things you have to do. And three, that's the bare minimum, having one in the ground, one on the excavator, and one roll holding the roll. It's five people. I said that once. I've said that in the beginning, and that's what we use. So the 57 lines were not pulled by the service lines. The other comment I want to make is on materials, on 17,000. While the unit cost here is exhibited here at $407.72 per unit, you have to understand that's $17,000 worth of parts that's factored into this that haven't all been used. Okay, we have to buy in lots of hundreds, so the purchases for inventory, there's more inventory coming.
Mr. Milanis, is that a difficult number to back out? Is that why you didn't do it? That might have helped your numbers.
No, I felt this gave you the most conservative with dollar for dollar. What we spent the day, this is what it's costing us for a line. But as we use those materials and as these numbers continue to increase, you're going to see that figure. If we can maintain the level of efficiency we're doing at this
but
point,
if you're saying you
that
have,
should come down.
But you're saying if you have remaining inventory that hasn't been spent, why did you not back out the number? It might have helped your, I mean, if you haven't, is it just too hard to do? Or
it's just too hard to go in there and
time
count
consuming?
Parts. And,
okay.
Right. So I thought this was a fair and an honest assessment of where we're at today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any other questions at this time from the board? Thank you, Mr. Milanis. Okay, our next speaker, please. We're still commenting on oral and administrative reports and consent agenda.
Hi, Bob Kreiser, Los Osos. First, I'd like to say that I hope to always speak here with respect for all that sit here tonight and for all that speak here tonight. I would like to speak at a public comment without having a concern for being overrode by the general manager or the president after I state my opinion. Regarding the people who have been given a notice to pump septic tanks, I encourage that they agree to pump. While asking the Regional Water Quality Control Board to remove the pumping requirements as soon as the CSD is dissolved and the county gets underway on our permitted project. That is a positive path, the fastest path to ending the pumping requirements. Please find a petition and sign to dissolve the CSD. Thank you.
Next speaker, please. Mr. Dugan, could the audience please be quiet?
Please. Dave Dugan, Los Osos. Somebody's talking about getting some kind of fund together. It says right here in the, from the Port of Cologne Act, assistance with order 13301.1. The regional board shall render to persons against whom a cease and desist order is issued pursuant to such and such code all possible assistance in making available current information on successful and economical water quality control programs and such information at, according to the codes, the regional board has to follow any rules that are laid out for any individual, such as the CSD, if they want to do a septic management program. Well, you have to file all the right papers, get all the right studies, and take it to the state. We all know that, or through the regional. It has to be guaranteed by the, or passed by the state. The regional board shall not adopt any water quality control plans unless public hearings are held first. The water quality control plan or revision thereof or adopted by a regional board shall not become effective unless and until it is approved by the state board. These are all codes out of the Port of Cologne Act. They are usurping your right as the governing authority for putting together a wastewater management program, and they're trying to circumvent the basin plan by not following these codes. They have to qualify their science. They have to go through the CEQA process. They have the EPA air quality they have to go through. They have to do everything that you would have to do to initiate a program. And, of course, it is bad science or no science. I call it nonsense to pump haphazardly septic tanks without science and knowing which ones we should be pumping. And, of course, bi-monthly is a recipe for disaster. We're going to have groundwater with viral and bacterial pathogens that are going to make the nitrate problem look like kindergarten. People are going to be getting sick and ill. And, of course, the water will no longer be clean, and we'll have failing septic systems all through the basin because of their actions. Thank you.
Mr. Dugan, would you mind providing a copy of that, your citations?
Oh, and more. Helpful. And more.
I'd love to have those. It seemed very helpful. Thank you. Next speaker, please. Anybody else want to speak in general on the first items? Mr. Jones.
Michael Jones. There was a disturbing comment made earlier advising me not to help my neighbor because I might have to help myself down the road. The community I live in is not a me community, it's a we community. As far as I'm concerned, when they attacked the first property owner with the first cease and desist order, they attacked me. I did not receive a cease and desist order, but I am right now ready to get behind those who did, and I'm willing to donate my time, talent, and treasure to fight the cease and desist orders. There's anything. The former board saddled this community with a debt against its will, and what kind of people would do something like that? That's all I have right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow. I live in Los Osos, and I have a dog named Blackjack, and I took him for a walk today on the bay, and I brought my camera with me because I was looking for a nice shot of these beautiful pair of white pelicans, which I wanted to do some artwork with. They weren't there, but I realized the reason I'm taking all this crap and going through all this stuff for 8 years is because this is a beautiful place, and it makes it worthwhile. So, more for the environment than anything else, I keep coming back. And oftentimes, my advice or suggestions are not worth considering, but I have some tonight that I think that you might be considering, and it has to do with the CDOs. It has to do with the ability for the community to deal with this in a scientific, rational way rather than a legal and political way. And there are experts in the field that deal with regulatory, and they understand, and Gail McPherson had a conversation with me about that today, and she's aware that you can do nitrate trading. So if consultants come to this community and can figure out a way to reduce nitrogen in high nitrate groundwater areas, we could get credit for our septic tank pumping. In that way, we can take a lot of fear away from our citizens, and we can solve the problem. And when we look closely at what the Water Board wants, they ask for a 22% reduction in nitrogen. But the pumping schedule they have will only give an 8% reduction in nitrogen. We can do better than that without pumping our septic tanks. And in here at 1 o'clock, and he would like to meet with somebody then. He would also like to meet with Mr. Blesky. And then we have another group. A gentleman wants to fly in from, I'm sorry, can I just finish up? Wants to fly in from Michigan, and he's connected to the gentleman who invented the piranha. And the three of those gentlemen, the other one being his representative down in Southern California, would like to join us as well. So I hope you'll entertain that idea.
Yeah. Mr. Barrow, please provide those names to Mr. Buskey, and we'll look into that. We are planning this workshop, and we're interested in acquiring a speaker list. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam President, Mr. Barrow has, and we're still trying to get the date settled down so we can have maximum participation.
Right. We're not doing it next week now. We have to change the date.
Well, this is that would help with the ACL fines on the three units specifically. So will you send me a time window?
I'll get with you because I got to talk to Pio to make sure his schedule, but I know he's coming out Wednesday. But I got to follow up from the note I got. You bet.
Any other speakers for the first items on the agenda? Closing public comment. Can I have a motion, please, to adopt the consent calendar? Minus items, hang on, 7 and 9? No, 7 and 9 are continued, 8 we're going to hear, so adopt it minus 7, 8, and 9. Can I have a motion?
I move that we adopt the consent calendar with the exception of items 7 and 9, which will be continued, and item 8, which we'll try and get to later on tonight.
I second the motion. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, does anybody, you want a break or you want to keep going? Number item 8, Mr. Buskey, could you do item 8? Or you want a break?
We can do item 8.
Let's do item 8
really
and take a break.
It really is quite
quick. Okay.
Essentially, all item 8 is just asking that for all pre-applications for grants and loans, not the application or the acceptance of the loan, that staff be allowed to sign the pre-application so we can start the process without a board action. Any acceptance would require a board action, so it just allows us the flexibility to move quickly on any opportunities for grants and loans. And that's essentially the item.
Questions, Mr. Senate? No. Director, any questions at this time? Okay, because we pulled it, we have to have public comment.
Now, my question is this board going to work around the election that's supposed to be involved with the SRF loan? And do what the last board did and get the SRF loan without an election? Are you going to follow codes? Codes require that a vote of 50% of the votes cast at such an election must be in favor of the proposition. There has to be a vote on an SRF loan, according to Port of Cologne. It also says the general purpose of the contract and the maximum amount of money to be borrowed from the state under the contract has to be stated. Maximum amount of money. So each time if you want to get more money for an SRF loan, there has to be a vote. On the ballot, it says it shall state the maximum amount of money to be borrowed from the state under the contract and shall contain the words execute the contract, yes, executional contract, no. Again, requirement, SRF loan has to be voted on, but only 50% plus one.
Madam President, a point of order. And Dave, I'm sorry, I don't mean to do this to you. What the item is merely the authority to apply for grants and loans. That's correct. But what we have here is not a discussion of the SRF process. It's really one point in that staff's. These comments would be more appropriate, I believe, with all respect to the speaker, for open session. I'm just bringing this up because we're just trying to move business along, but it is just for the ability to pre-apply.
Well, my question is, are you going to follow these codes as far as the election for any SRF loans? If you're going to apply for an SRF loan, you need to follow the codes. I want to know now if you're going to follow the codes unless you found a way to get around it. Either way.
That would be okay. When we bring it back.
Wait a second here. Hold on a second. I want the speakers to speak their 3 minutes. Finish their 3 minutes, and then we'll respond. That would be the best way to do it.
I've asked my question.
Okay, are you through with your comments, Mr. Dugan?
The question was, are you going to go through with an election on SRF, or are you going to circumvent it like the last board did? And is there a way, legally? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mr. Buskey, do you have anything else to add at this time?
Well, I'd just like to apologize for Mr. Dugan. I'm just trying to move it along, and really brings up a lot of good points. But specifically, to answer the question is, if staff
is if we get a pre-application approved, then all of these issues come. And I do apologize. It's just that I want to try to keep it moving and focused.
We're going to keep moving then. Director Sassanian, did you have a comment? Okay, next speaker, please.
Peter Arnold. Mine are probably along the same line as Mr. Dugan. I don't understand how you can apply for a loan when we lost the last loan because it was site-specific and you don't even have a plan yet. So I'm unclear as how can you apply for a loan and you don't know what kind of plant you're going to make and how much money it's going to cost. And that's about all for now.
Good questions. What we're asking for right now is specifically all those things do have to be addressed or we won't even make the pre-application process. That would be all brought up.
Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is Al Barrell. I'd like to stand in favor of this motion. I hope the board approves it unanimously. I believe that the state revolving fund money will be available to the next project. I believe that the grant committee can get enough money to create a 50% equity, and which will give us a great deal of credibility because of our default, and we'll also get a zero interest wraparound loan. So I'm all in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening again, board, staff, people at home and here. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Again, I'd like to reiterate the LADA lawsuit of 218. And you appear to be in partnership fighting us with our own money against the 218 if you don't settle that. How can we apply for another loan if we're suing the State Water Board for not having a 218 on the last one, which they obviously admitted in hindsight being 2020 vision when they gave us their last and best offer, denying that there was ever a first or second. And the last and best offer said you must have a 218 vote.
Point of order.
I'm sorry,
just
what?
Just let him go. Just let him finish his speech. Okay?
Thank you.
Funding a loan illegally, which I think that 218 vote will give us the right to ask for them to pay the contractors who are suing us now, and we can keep the money they gave us because they got to eat it for giving it to us illegally. That's my opinion on a 218 vote. Thank you.
Let's just keep going on this item. This is just pre-application for State Revolving Fund Loan.
Hello, Gail McPherson. Having applied for many loans and grants and things like that in my career, I can assure you that you probably need to do some education on this. The confusion by speakers at the podium is understandable. It's a complex issue. It's a complex process. But if you recall, the application for the old project started, and I'll go back to the 90s, with a county project. And what they did is they filed a piece of paper that said we would like to do a project. And it didn't have any details in it. It's just basically an application. This is pre that. So what I'd like to do is just suggest that you do a little bit of educating at the next meeting on the process of the SRF loan. Now, the issue of whether or not you're in a fight with the state has very little to do with whether you're going to get a loan. In fact, the more cease and desist you have, the greater chance, that you will have that approved, because it is in Puerto Colón that they have an obligation to move you to the fast track. And so there's a real misunderstanding that this is a personal, nasty battle between people. And I know it appears that way. We've seen emails, and we've seen a lot of correspondence that gives that impression. And yes, they're human beings. However, they do follow a process. And I'm sure that when you see this 2 years down the road, you're going to see that they're going to be very happy to get rid of this project and get this over with and funded. This is a pre-application process. It has very little to do with anything else except saying, can we get this on the block? Can we get this started? And I think it's really important to give staff that flexibility to get grants and loans, pre-applications signed and in the mail or faxed or whatever we're doing. And I think the deadline was yesterday for some of this.
Okay, yes, thank you. Next speaker, please.
My name is Joyce Albright. I think that Ms. McPherson is living in a fantasy world. I think she had to take a look at the fact that the relationship between you guys and the Water Board is totally destroyed. Your credibility with them is destroyed. Why would they trust you after you have slandered them, lied to them, and sued them? They will put you at the bottom of the list, and they will wait for us to dissolve the LOCSD because they know they can't trust you guys, and you owe them $6 million. So you're dreaming. You're dreaming, and you know you're dreaming.
Next speaker, please.
Well, you should know what dreaming is all about. Absolutely not true. As Gail mentioned, this loan has been recommitted numerous times. The loan that was allocated to this community and for the old project is in dispute. And that has to be resolved because I think they missed nothing to do with your trust because obviously you guys entered negotiations in good faith. So there's no trust question here. The trust falls on them, and that's why we're in the dilemma that we're in. But folks, we want the loan. Why would you criticize their efforts to get that loan? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Markison.
Richard Margetson, quick comment. Is there any chance that the 0% interest loan that the last board had the opportunity to go after, if they had gone after the loan in a different way, is that still available now? And is that part of this process? Thank you.
Mr. Kowalski?
A couple of things on that is, if it's available to us, we'll know about it. The grants and the ad hoc committee is doing a real good job on that. But there's another thing that's going on is the affordability study will also support that, and that's out there on the street right now. That was never done before.
Thank you very much. Closing public comment on this item. Any comments from the board, questions at this time about this? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, everybody, okay. Questions from the board? It means nothing about all the procedure, and we totally commit to doing an educational process on the SRF loan for all that are interested. Anybody else? Director Cesania?
Aye. Oh.
I move staff's recommendations. Do I have a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Take a 10-minute break.